Hello everyone, my name is Amit Khare. I'm Vice President with CGI Federal, and I'll be the facilitator for our podcast today. We have an esteemed panel of guests who bring vast experience leading, managing, and implementing software solutions related to recovery efforts. My first guest is Mr. Mike Wood, former Executive Director of Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. Mike oversaw the recovery efforts, mainly ensuring that taxpayer money was being properly spent and effectively used, and there was no waste, fraud, or abuse. My second guest is Kenyon Wells. He is Senior Vice President at CGI Federal. He leads CGI's International Diplomacy and Commerce Business Unit. Mr. Wells led CGI's federalreporting.gov team in 2008. Last but not least, I have Gaurav Pal, GP. He's the founder and CEO of fast-growing cloud security firm StackArmor. He brings several decades of experience leading, managing recovery efforts from a business and technical implementation perspective. So let's begin today's discussion. I'll go first with Mike. Mike, as a former executive director, you led the recovery board. Help our listener understand, how is the recovery effort different than the pandemic response?
Hey, Samit. My name is Mike Wood. I was the executive director of the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. And you've probably seen a lot under the pandemic. There's the PRAC has been established, similar to the RAT board that I worked with. We were dealing with a very short time frame and a lot of unknowns, which is not unlike what's happening today. The scopes of the program is different, and I'll talk a little bit about that. But essentially, under the CARES Act, to look at oversight and to look at transparency, they established the PRAC Committee of SIGI. Under the recovery program, they established something known as the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board. Very similar missions. Our mission with the RAT board was to provide transparency for the data so that the public would know what was being spent, and also to do oversight and do accountability to make sure that the money was being spent appropriately. So we did that basically doing three things. We established a reporting process, federalreporting.gov, where people could submit information on what money they received and if they created jobs and so forth. We also built a transparency website, recovery.gov, and published that, which was an innovative website at the time, back in 2009 when all this was happening. And we built something known as the Recovery Operations Center, where we used advanced analytics to look at the spending data and try and find problems, potential mismanagement, potential fraud, so we could take care of that. We did a lot of work at that time on working with agencies on making sure that controls were put in place to make sure that the spending, that the fraud was as low as possible. Today, you've got a very different situation. We were looking at $840 billion, which at the time in 2009 was a lot of money. Today, we're looking at $2.4 trillion. Under the recovery program, most of the money was being spent through traditional sort of grants and contracts that the government had set up, various programs. A lot of what's being spent under the pandemic response is slightly different. It's loans to companies, loans to individuals. And the money is moving very, very fast, even faster than what happened with recovery. So that makes it difficult to try and ensure controls are put in place. The good news is we had some good technology that we used. We used data standards. We used some analysis. And we got a lot of cooperation across the government. I think there's a little bit different today in that you've actually got some advances in technology that people should be looking at using, that the PRAC should be looking at using. And there's some improvements to data management. When we were looking at different data sets, it was very, very difficult to get some of those. There weren't APIs, there weren't machine-readable data. There is today. So I think advances in technology and data management are something that PRAC should be looking at, and the people should be looking at it to try and control spending and to reduce any fraud or mismanagement.
Thanks, Mike. You mentioned short time frame, lots of unknown, data standard, data management were the key aspects. One of the key tasks was to gather data from numerous stakeholders across the country, both public and private. Kenyon, you led the development team in 2008. Help us understand, what were some of the lessons learned in interacting with such a diverse group?
Thank you, Amit. First off, let me introduce myself. My name is Kenyon Wells. I'm with CGI. Back in 2008-2009, we built federalreporting.gov, which is the corollary to recovery.gov. When you hear from GP, you'll hear about his piece of that. We collected all the data from all the recipients of the Recovery Act. We worked very closely with Mike and his team, and we were primarily dealing with federal agencies, state governments, local governments, and corporations. Anyone who received Recovery Act money had to report in to the Recovery Board about what they were doing with that money and how it was being spent, how many jobs were saved, what was being done to promote the overall recovery coming out of the financial challenges that we had back then. Key lessons learned: you have to adapt your way of interacting with the different types of stakeholders. A state government is very different than a local government, you know, municipality or a corporation, and they all have different drivers. The private companies we were dealing with, the corporations, they were just trying to be compliant to the law and get their data in and move on, and they really didn't want to talk about it. The state and local governments were much more interested in how their data was going to be used, how it was going to be perceived. And we really had to have a team interacting with those folks. And we had to have a very close partnership with our government clients, with Mike and his team, so that when someone had to, you know, escalate something up to, say, the governor's office or to a mayor's office, that we were able to do that. We were able to collect an awful lot of data and get it into the system and make it useful for both transparency and accountability. But it took a lot of work. And it was a constantly evolving situation. We constantly had to learn how to interact with these different stakeholders.
Thanks, Kenyon. A quick follow-up on the data. Quality and timeliness is very important. How did your team achieve high-quality data?
So first off, the Recovery Board was able to establish a lot of standards for how the rest of the federal government has operated for the last 10 years. A lot of the data standards about how we collected data and things that we required from our stakeholders and our recipients to report became standards that were eventually incorporated into the Data Act. And Mike, who's right here, was one of the primary drivers behind the Data Act. And now every federal agency and most of the state and local municipalities have to report to those standards. But we were learning that as we went. And we were figuring these things out as we went. And we had some challenges for things such as congressional districts, that we had to work with the Postal Service to figure out how you would define that data and where a particular company's operations were in which congressional district. You'd think that was an easy thing. It really wasn't. But now we have these data standards. Now we have broadly accepted ways of reporting this data. And the pandemic response organizations really need to stick to those data standards and push them hard. Second, in addition to the data standards, you really need experts on the team, both on the government side and on the contractor side, who understand the data. And as it's coming in, they can raise the red flags and say, this looks wrong. There is a problem here. They did not point this money to the appropriate municipality. They did not allocate it to the appropriate type of contract or grant. You really need experts who understand the data, because people matter. And no matter how good our processes and standards are, you got to have people taking a quick look at it and making sure it's right.
Thanks, Kenyon. My next question is for GP about data storage. GP, I believe Recovery Board used cloud for hosting sensitive transparency and accountability data. What was the rationale and driver behind the board's willingness to consider cloud services?
Thanks, Amit. Thanks for that question. Hello, everybody. I'm GP. I'm the principal at StackArmor. We focus on cloud and cloud security solutions for our clients. I had the privilege at this point exactly 11 years ago implementing a cloud-based solution for the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board for a system called recovery.gov. I happened to be the lead architect and then the program manager for that system. I think a couple of things that some of the speakers before me said were really important. The first is, I think Kenyon spoke about data and how, you know, they were collecting so much of data. And the board, in its wisdom, when they were looking at solutions and selecting technology providers, they knew that this data would be very, very valuable and that people would want access to this data. In fact, the chairman of the recovery board and Mike Wood, they coined a term called citizen IG. And the whole idea was, if we make this data available in an easy and quick way, then people will come and they will examine this information, and the purposes of accountability will be served by essentially having people really ask questions and look at the different ways the money is being spent and on the different programs. And that required an infrastructure with the ability to go in and serve and meet these diverse needs. Now, here was the catch. The board at that point, when they were launching this system, had no idea on what the traffic would look like. Also, the board had a need to go in and stand up this whole system from scratch in less than 11 weeks. And so the idea of using cloud computing was born from those two key needs. One is we need to be able to expand in the face of unknown requirements in terms of performance. And second, we need to be able to go in and deliver this data in a highly secure manner such that whoever needs it can get access to it. And so those were the two key drivers that the board sort of laid down is, hey, we need this solution fast, and we need the solution to be able to scale to meet needs as they emerge. And so, for example, when we initially launched this site, we were faced with an unprecedented amount of traffic. For example, the recovery.gov website was showcased on CNN.com on, you know, basically talking about jobs reports and things like that. And we suddenly saw a rush of traffic in excess of 1 million hits per second. And so therefore, the use of cloud computing at that time really helped save a lot of money, because otherwise, had we done it the old way, we would have bought, you know, big servers, lots of pipes to try and meet this peak demand, which would have been impossible to estimate in the first place, but yet serve the needs of the mission by being able to elastically scale up and down as needed. So I think those were some key elements that the board was looking for when they decided to explore cloud computing to meet the hosting needs of recovery.gov.
Thanks, GP. You touched upon software development process. For the effort like recovery or pandemic response, there is no time for planning. Kenyon, in your experience, how did you manage constantly evolving requirements?
We were doing a lot of things 11 years ago that are now somewhat standard, or at least the preferred way of doing things. We were agile before we had the word agile. And we had a very tightly integrated team between the government team, the CGI team, GP's team, all of us working very closely together. And we were having what today we would call weekly scrums. Back then, we were just having stand-ups and we were figuring out what we can do for the next 48 hours because things were changing so quickly. And the traditional old approach of writing a design document and then coding and then testing just wasn't going to fly. We had things changing, the scale, the number of people who were accessing it, the number of people who were submitting data was just radically changing week by week. And we would have stand-up calls every morning. We would code all day. We would meet the next morning and figure out what was working, what was not, and what should go into production and what shouldn't. And, again, we were working agile before we had the word for agile. And a lot of what we've talked about, data standards, stakeholder management, cloud, those were the foundational things that allowed us to then be so flexible. And I can think of one specific story. I mentioned earlier our challenges with congressional districts, which I know Mike will remember well, because we were hammered by the Hill, by our congressional representatives, who, how did you not track this appropriately to congressional district? And we were pulling an all-nighter, and our development team was just cranking away because we had this quarterly recipient thing and we had to get it in under that deadline. And Vice President Biden was on The Daily Show, and our team was listening to that. And Jon Stewart asked him about why you weren't able to track things by congressional district, while our development team was coding the solution for that. And I was staying there with the development team all night because I was getting a call every hour from the White House asking about how this development was going. We got it done. We got it coded. We delivered it. Mike's team was there at 5 a.m. the next day to double check everything and stand everything up. And we got it all signed off. Again, it was every contractor, every government person, being flexible, being responsive, and iterating constantly as the requirements changed. And, you know, it was incredible we were able to accomplish what we were able to accomplish, and it was really the high point of my career.
The key takeaway is one team mentality between government and contractor. Kenyon mentioned cloud-based solutions. I'll now go to GP again. Help us understand what were key elements of the Recovery Board's technology strategy that would be relevant to the accountability community today.
So I think the value proposition of cloud services for helping an organization like the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board meet its mission, I think we see it every day today with the different agencies that are tasked with similar requirements. So, I mean, really, from an architectural standpoint, as all of us know that operate in this space, ensuring the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of the data is critical, right? So there are requirements like FedRAMP compliance, FISMA compliance. So obviously, security and compliance with government data go hand in hand. And so really, the architecture in recovery.gov's case using Amazon Web Services was to implement a strong security model using things like defense in depth, having multiple layers of protection through firewalls, continuous monitoring, encryption. And so what we found is being able to create an architecture that allowed us to both scale up, but also more importantly, scale down when the traffic was not as high, I think was very important. So for example, for those of you that sort of remember, the Recovery Board used to publish quarterly job reports. So we, and the data was collected in federalreporting.gov. And once the hard work of collecting that data was done, those reports would be published. And we knew from that pattern that there would be a sudden crush of traffic within a day or two of those reports being published, but then the traffic would sort of die down, right? And so we were able to use things like auto scaling to go in and spin up servers, make them available for that increased load, and be performant and meet the mission, but at the same time, save the government money by spinning down those servers as the demand went away. So we came up with a phrase called the cloud dividend. And so the idea was we didn't have to go in and engineer to the peak and pay peak performance costs all the time. And so I think those are some lessons that I think are really important today as the different federal agencies try and meet their mission needs you know, a new data set might suddenly become available. Now everybody wants access to it. And so how do you very quickly go and take that data, publish it, and then make it available to your users in a manner that it's secure and you can scale up to meet the need and then also scale back down? So I think some of those lessons, early lessons with recovery.gov, I think still hold true today. And it's really interesting to see that now, additionally, with services like AIML and Python and advanced analytics, we are now able to actually perform greater and greater amounts of analytics on that data on the fly and deliver even more value. And so I think this evolution of the cloud architectures with more and more of these value-added analytical services is, I think, very, very exciting for the future.
Thanks, GP, for sharing best practices for technical architecture implementation. I will ask Mike, as a customer, what are some of the key lessons learned you would like to share regarding use of data and technical approaches?
Yeah, thanks. I have a series of them, I guess. One is, we mentioned data standards. We put standards in place. The interesting thing in today's climate, there are a lot of standards. We've got USA Spending that you can tap into to see what spending is happening. And so government needs to catch up on that as far as filling that information out. But data standards is very, very important. And I think we've got a step towards that. Even if what's being reported isn't standardized, there's a lot of different things that have been developed that are the loan applications and so forth, sort of give you a structure that, even though they might not be put in technology terms, the information is there. One of the big lessons we learned in recovery, which is very interesting, is that, and one of the things that the PRAC has been told to do is make the spending transparent. What we learned was transparency is a force multiplier for accountability. And just to explain that a little bit, if you're looking very carefully at how the money is being spent and people know that that's being sort of looked at very, very carefully by a lot of people, by citizens, by oversight community, by Congress, the chances of someone trying to steal that money probably goes down. And we were very successful in the $840 billion. There were very, very low levels of fraud, probably less than 1%, I would say. The other big lesson learned that we ought to talk about is using technology, using advanced technology. If you look at what's happening now with the pandemic response, both the oversight community and the agencies need to use technology. There's no way to get around it. If you look at Small Business Administration, I've heard numbers as high as 4 million PPP loans. That's a lot of information to look at. The only way you're going to be able to process that and sort of look at it from a standpoint of, did the spending make sense? And are there problems in that? And are there sort of unexpected things occurring there is if you use technology, if you use some analytics. So you've got to apply good analytics to that information. And that's the only way you're going to be able to manage it on a day-to-day basis.
So before I go to Mike for his final thoughts, Kenyon, would you like to add anything?
I've enjoyed this conversation. It's good to go down memory lane for a minute and remember all these hard lessons we learned 11 years ago. We talk a lot about approaches and management styles and technologies and all this. The most important takeaway for me was the team and was the people. And I remember clearly sitting in a conference room where Danny Wolfolk, who was the comptroller of the federal government at the time, or OMB, so he was basically the CFO for the US federal government, looked around at everyone and said, you know, look, this is going to be one of the hardest 6 months ever. This is recovery of keeping our country out of the Great Depression. And pointed at each person saying, are you in? Are you in? Are you in? And some people said they weren't sure. Those people never showed up to another meeting. I had the privilege of representing CGI there, and I said, we're here, we're in, you know, CGI is in, and I know GP, and I know Mike, and all of their respective teams. We were 100% in, and it was some of the hardest times of my career, but some of the most rewarding. And now our country is facing an even more difficult situation. And the government team and whoever's supporting them is going to face an even harder situation, whoever that is. And I just want to say, you'll get through this. This is going to be good, and this is going to be the highlight of your professional career. There is so much good we can do for our country right now. And I hope the lessons that we learned 11 years ago are of use to you, and we're right there with you in the trenches.
We are almost at the end of this session. Before I close, I will ask Mike to provide his words of wisdom that could help today's PRAC and IGs.
Yeah, thanks. I think there's a number of them. I make three or four points, I guess, that should be looked at based on what happened with the Recovery Board and what the scenario is today, both with the PRAC and with the IGs. One, they're putting their organization together as we speak. Bob Westbrook and others are hiring people and putting them to work. I know what that was like. It was a lot of work. But we were able to build, because it was a new organization, the RAP Board was a new organization, and the PRAC is a new organization within SIGI, the staff that they're hiring. We were able to build a tech-savvy organization. We were able to hire people that understood technology, that knew how to get things done in sort of a modern approach. And I think that was one of the big success stories, that we had people that really knew how to manage processes, how to put technology in place and use it. And I think that that's something the PRAC has to do and the IGs should be doing, is using innovative technologies to be able to leverage their audit, their investigation, their evaluation, and their legal work. The technology needs to be able to support all that. As I mentioned, you've got 4 million loans. You've got $2.4 trillion in spending. Those numbers are staggering. And you need technology to help you out, sort of set priorities, look at problems, and that type of thing. You also need to be able to push and maintain a willingness to apply modern techniques, cloud computing, AI, machine learning, to transparency and accountability. Those are things that day-to-day IGs aren't always talking about those, but those are things that need to happen in order to be successful with such a huge program.
I would like to thank all of our panelists today for providing great insight into Recovery Board and pandemic response. I also want to thank you, the listeners. I hope you have enjoyed what you heard, took away a few nuggets of information that you can use as you approach future challenges. If you would like to learn more about what we have covered in today's podcast, you can contact me. My email address is a.khare@cgifederal.com. Thank you again. I hope you have a great day.